Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our hockey analyst, chief scout, Craig Button. What's up, Craig? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you doing?
Well, I'm gearing up for a big night of action. I mean, the Monday Nighter is going to be off the charts, or we hope, and the Cup might be handed out tonight. How do you feel about Tampa's chances of closing it tonight? And if they don't, how nervous should they be about going seven?
Well, I think that they're the better team, but if they play game six like they played game five, they're just kidding themselves. They'll be talking like Vegas did. Oh, we deserve to win. Oh, we did all this, and you did nothing. You know what? They held the puck for long periods of time, and they didn't challenge Dallas. And I would say that if they get to a game seven, if they thought there was pressure in a game six, they ain't seen nothing yet if they have to play a game seven, because all the pressure, in my view, will shift to the Tampa Bay Lightning, because at this point in time, Dallas has nothing to lose.
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, Tampa's been better. They are better. They're expected to win. Hudobin might be on fumes. If Dallas can grind out a win tonight, wouldn't shock me if it was an overtime game again, then the pendulum swings. Mm. And Tampa starts having flashbacks, and all the pressure's all of a sudden on them. And, you know, when I looked at Tampa tonight, you know, Hedman, I think, will show up. I think Point will show up. Kucherov will show up. Dallas is a bit of a different story, right? Like, Pavelski's has had a really good run. I thought Sagan really stepped up. I think he's getting better. I thought he looked pretty good the other night. But when you look at Dallas, you know, who's got to be the focal point? Like, who's got to step up tonight, and who should we be looking at? I don't think it can be Corey Perry every single game.
Rick Bonus. I think Rick Bonus has a real challenge with the injuries now to Hintz, Sekera, who is going to be a game-time decision. And when you're a game-time decision in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, there's some uncertainty surrounding your ability to play. And, you know, if they got to put in another defenseman, he's already had to manage it with, you know, putting in Nick Camano and then Jake Dowling to replace Hintz. So, you know, you're trying to manage, from the coach's point of view, get players into positions where they don't get overwhelmed. And when you got a deep team on the other side like the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's going to have to be really, really sharp in terms of his coaching on that bench, when to get players out, when, you know, make sure he doesn't get caught. He got caught in Game 4 with Camano and Sekera out on the ice and Lindell as the right-side defenseman when Point scored that goal to get back in. Well, guess what? In the last minute of the period in Game 5, he got caught again. You can't get caught because good teams are going to nail you, and that's what I think has to be the difference maker with all the injuries.
And Craig, you mentioned yesterday when we were chatting on air about not giving Tampa an opportunity on the power play and the discipline of Dallas. To me, that seems like a given. You have to make sure that you play hard whistle to whistle and not give them an opportunity with the man advantage because they seem to be feeling it right now.
No question about it. And not only was Tampa Bay feeling it, but Dallas was not doing a very good job of penalty killing. So, you know, you want to fix your penalty killing, but one really, really effective way to not worry about your penalty kill, don't take penalties. You know, Dallas really were really good 5-on-5 versus Tampa Bay in game five in that victory. And, you know, if you want to let skill get out on the ice and handle the puck and throw the puck around, don't make you pay. So don't give them the opportunity. And as you point out, Jamie, whistle to whistle, play hard, you know, be determined, do what you need to do. But don't get into the areas that allow Tampa Bay what I would call, you know, one of those buy one, get one free coupons.
We were talking about Corey Perry earlier, Craig, where he got bought out in Anaheim. He took the one-year bounce-back contract on a good team in Dallas. And during the regular season, you wouldn't even know he was in the league. He just never factored into any conversations. But come playoff time, he's shown up. And in the Cup Final, he's been great. We saw what he did a couple of nights ago. If you're his agent, because he's a UFA again after this year, what are you asking for? What is reasonable to expect? And what do you think other teams are going to throw at him?
Well, he's 35 years old, right? And let's keep in mind that all the players benefited from the 4.5 months off. With respect to, you know, getting rested, not only physically, but also mentally and understanding what the grind is. You know, Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, you don't have to tell them what the Stanley Cup playoffs are all about. They're going to show up. But the added rest has helped both those players because during the regular season, I mean, they delivered probably to what they were capable of, given their age and where they're at. And, you know, they've been fantastic because they are competitors and they understand. So, you know, Pavelski's got 2 years left, so that's not a concern. Corey Perry, if you're an NHL team, I would do exactly the same thing. I'm not giving Corey Perry a long-term contract. I'm not giving Corey Perry a two-year contract based on the regular season. And this isn't going to happen again. We might have a compressed season next year, which might make it even harder on Corey Perry. Do I think it was a really good, strong signing by the Dallas Stars? Yeah. But don't get fooled by these playoffs and think that now that's deserving. I'm talking about an NHL team.
Right.
Agents are always going to ask for more. But an NHL team, no way. Sorry, I'll give you a one-year deal. I'll give you bonuses and incentives. But if you want a long-term deal, phone somebody else.
I think someone's going to get fooled. I think so. Go ahead.
Craig, Bobby came out with a tweet today regarding Jack Eichel and him possibly being unhappy in Buffalo, whatever the scenario is. If you're the GM in Buffalo, Kevin Adams, how do you handle the situation where there's smoke, there's fire? Do you just go to Eichel and say, look, do you want to play here or not, or get to the bottom of it? How do you handle it?
Well, I think, Jeff, you nailed it. You know what? There's only one way. Go right to Jack. Where are you at? Where's your head at? Like, whether it's a little bit of smoke, whether there's a smoldering fire underneath that smoke, I agree with you. And, you know, if I'm an NHL team, I'm going to be phoning Kevin Adams at every turn to find out what I can do to acquire Jack Eichel. But for the Buffalo Sabres, now it becomes another, I guess, uncertainty in where they're headed. I mean, this is their best player. This is their superstar. And if he doesn't want to be there, and I mean, you know how it is, Jeff and Jamie, players aren't going to say they don't want to be there. But if you get the sense that they feel that there's a better place for them, you know, it's going to be hard to really, you know, put a stake in the ground with that player as your key player. So Kevin Adams has got to get to the bottom of it, and he's got to get to it quickly because the Stanley Cup final is coming to an end, and we're right into the draft and into free agency. So his opportunity, if it is the case that he has to consider moving Jack, might not be any greater than it is right now.
Craig, when you were a manager, you were a young general manager, and Kevin Adams is an inexperienced general manager. Do you feel like there's maybe potentially a couple calls that of experienced managers looking to pick his pocket or give him some advice? I'm sure you had one or two of those scenarios in your career when you were a young manager.
Yeah, I would say it was a lot more than one or two, Jamie. here's what I always felt. I always felt like I was in the deep part of the water. The waves were coming over my head, and the GMs were looking to throw me a life jacket. And
like, how dumb are some of the comments, Craig? What are we talking about here?
Well, they're dumb. But like, let me just tell you, let me finish that. I thought I was catching a life jacket, and then I realized it was an anchor. They were trying to sink me right to the bottom of the water. Like, you know, they weren't trying to help me out of it. They were trying to drown me. Jeff, it's amazing. Like, you know, what players, what managers will offer you and whatnot. I'm going to share this story with you. Glenn Sather was the manager in New York, and he had just become the manager in New York. I had just become in Calgary. And he had a player by the name of Michael Groshek. And, you know, he was trying to peddle Michael Groshek and peddle Michael Groshek and peddle. And I had zero interest in Michael Groshek. But, you know, you're engaging and you're listening. And so he's telling me all about Michael Groshek, and this is day after day. Finally, one day on the phone, and he says to me, he compares them, I've gone blank. What was the Czech player that played for the Red Wings? Really gifted, right-shot Czech player. Very skilled.
Robert
Lang?
You
guys know him. Robert Lang. That's who it was. So Glenn says, do you like Robert Lang? And I said, yeah, I like Robert Lang. He goes, let me tell you a story about Robert Lang. He goes, we had him in Edmonton as a free agent, and we let him go. He goes, turned out to be a pretty good player. I said, oh, boy, did he ever. How did that happen, Glenn? So he kind of goes through the story of what happened with Robert Lang. So he says, Michael Groshek is exactly like Robert Lang. So I'm on the phone, and I'm thinking, okay, I can be the putz, or I can push right back. And I said, well, Glenn, I'm just a little bit concerned. He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, you're a smart guy. You just told me this guy's like Robert Lang. I can't imagine you're going to make the same mistake twice.
Right. How do you respond to that?
Oh, he said he'll phone me. He told me think about it and phone me back.
Okay. Well, that's
needless,
nice of him.
Needless to say, I didn't get another call about Michael Groshen.
You're right, exactly. with Craig Button. So as you mentioned, we're only a week away from the draft. And I think we all know what's going to happen with the first pick. And then beyond that, you know, there's some debate who goes two, who goes three and beyond. The Leafs pick 15th. If we don't get a chance to talk to you between now and the first round next week, can you give us a couple of names you think might be on the board and you think this team, the way they build their philosophies with the draft, they might be looking at with that 15th pick?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's what I say. I never believe you should put a square peg in a round hole. So when I talk about Braden Schneider as a right shot defenseman, I think he's absolutely in that group of players that are in and around that pick. And then you start to think about, you know, what type of player the Toronto Maple Leafs could use. And I think Braden Schneider is that type of player. He plays the game in a lot of the similar fashion that Jacob Trouba plays the game. And he's got a late birthday, you know, September of 2001. I think he's closer to playing than not playing. So, you know, we talk about, you know, acquiring, you know, number one centers and good defensemen and right shot defensemen. Well, you can't trade for them, so you better look at drafting them. And, you know, one thing I'm going to, like, and I've been saying this now, don't pay any attention to this best player available BS, because it's BS. Because if everybody knew who the next best player available was, they'd all do it. You know, you're looking at a group of players always to say, okay, this is a center, this is a winger, this is a defenseman, this is a goalie if you want to consider a goalie. And then you look at, okay, are they in the right group? What are their strengths? What's their development path? And then you have to make a decision. But this idea, unless your name's Sidney Crosby, Merrill Lemieux, or Connor McDavid, best player available doesn't exist in the draft. Anybody tries to tell you that, they don't know what they're talking about.
Craig, I know you don't have the crystal ball, but do you feel like the goaltender's going to go before 15? I mean, he's kind of all over the map. Like, I can't get a read on
Askarov, the Russian.
Yeah, Askarov. Like, but I'm talking about, like, some teams that need goaltending are picking a little bit higher. Like, you know, could you envision him going off the board in the top 10, or do you feel like maybe 10 to 20 type of thing, just depending on, I guess, needs, like you just said, correct?
Well, yeah, needs, and, you know, I think he's a franchise goalie, Jamie. I think, right. I said it. He's the best goalie I've seen entering a draft since Carey Price. Now, right. Why don't we rewind a little bit and go back to 2005? You know, Carey Price, you know, when the Montreal Canadiens drafted Carey Price, there was lots of people going, what are the Canadiens doing? They have Jose Theodore. Well, I guess right. They knew what they were doing because they valued it. Listen, if he went in the top five, I wouldn't be surprised. But I understand, you know, that in the course of the draft and looking at goaltenders, and as you point out about the crystal ball, you know, right. I don't know where they're. But Spencer Knight went 13th last year, and I think Spencer Knight's a really good goaltender, is going to be a number one for a long time. I don't think Spencer Knight's as good as Staroff. So wow. I would say that if, you know, he starts to get into that range, you know, whatever, 9, 10, 11, 12, I think teams have to absolutely be considering him. But it wouldn't shock me one bit if he goes in the top 5, 6, or 7. Not at all. He's too good.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. And when you're dealing with goaltending right now, I mean, it's never about needs tonight. Like, he's not playing anyway. He's not going to play for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's true, Brian, but guess what? Most of these players aren't going to contribute for 2 or 3 years.
True.
Even
true
if you
enough.
Are even if you are picked in the top 6 or the top 7 or whatever, it takes time. And you know what? Like, some players come in, but you know, the top players, we know Lafreniere's coming in and contributing. But look at the first 3 picks last year. Jack Hughes, Kaapo Kakko, and Kirby Dach, they wore NHL sweaters. They didn't contribute to their team during the regular season. They were in development mode. That's what they were doing. They were developing in the NHL. They didn't make right. any significant contribution to their teams. Kirby Dach coming back in the playoffs played very well, but that was a long time after he'd finished playing the regular season. So, you know, you start going past the top three and you get into 6 to 20 and everything, these guys aren't ready to contribute.
No, of course not. No, and yeah. I mean, he's a fascinating prospect. Goaltenders in the first round, you know, you don't see them a lot. You certainly don't see them a lot in the top 10. And no. I'm with you, Noodles. Just read mock drafts and he's all over the place.
Well, he's all over the map, and it's interesting because, you know, I had somebody ask me out of Ottawa, would Ottawa pick at 5? Like, you know, and he seems like a franchise goaltender. Again, I know it's a little bit higher risk for goaltenders because we're seeing traditionally them mature at 25, 26 now. Well, that's not the case with Carter Hart, with Vasilevsky, with Carey Price, with Marc-Andre Fleury. A lot of those guys got really good when they were 21, 22, 23 years old. Hellebuck's now really good at, 25, 26. So if you're a special player and you can play, it doesn't matter of your age. And if this kid projects to be what we think he is and what, Craig, you're saying he is, then he should be respected in that top 5 to 10.
Well, if the Leafs, if he's still there on the board on 15, don't you
That's
think the Leafs have to take him?
For sure. Like,
they haven't drafted and developed a goalie in a long, long time.
Forever.
Yeah, well, if you think he's a franchise goalie and you think he's a top player, I mean, you know, the thing about drafting goaltenders is everybody knows that, you know, they're not going to come in and do what Tom Barrasso did, you know, winning Rookie of the Year in Vezina as an 18-year-old out of high school. That just doesn't
right.
happen. But the goaltenders, you know, you need them and you need to draft them. I mean, you look at Ilya Samsonov, who was drafted in 2015. He now is ready to assume the role of number one. And, you know, he's 23 years old and, you know, he's ready. He last year he played in a backup role. But if you don't draft him, I'd like, yeah, you can look and say, okay, we can acquire them. But at some point in time, you need to get them. And make no mistake about this. We know there's goaltenders that come from different parts of the draft, just like there's centers and defensemen. But I can tell you what, going into a draft, you know, nobody can sit down and say there's a goaltender in this draft, in my view, that can say there's anybody in the class of Askarov.
Well, that's high praise, and we'll find out in just over a week. Enjoy Game 6 tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, Craig.
We will. Yeah, thanks, you guys.
There he is, Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It is Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. The red tag savings continue with rates from 0%. Yeah, I mean, the goaltender in the first round, it's kind of going against the wisdom of recent drafts, so to speak. But
he didn't have a very good juniors either.
Well, but that's two weeks, though. Like, was there anybody?
I know,
that's
why I couldn't do it. All I hear about is all the talk about this guy. And there was games he was pulled, like, quickly and at the juniors. I'm like, this is the next Carey Price? But I don't know. That's why you got to watch him again and watch him again. And
It'll be fascinating if he's on the board at 15, what the Leafs are going to do.
Like,
I think the Leafs
should take him.
I think they should, too. If they believe in him, clearly, but that goes without saying. But if they feel like he is a guy that will be the number one, even if it's in 5 years, you got to invest in it.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think he's making it to 15 because Edmonton would take him at 14. I think Edmonton should take that goalie at 14 if he's available.
Is Fleury the only goalie ever to go first overall?
No,
Ricky DiPietro.
Ricky DiPietro. What a play. With Roberto Luongo already there, we got to take DiPietro.
Yeah.
That's got to be the dumbest draft in history. Like, that's even worse than a bust because you had Luongo already on your team.
Young Luongo.
Yeah. And you're like, no, Rick DiPietro is just better. That's the better play. Got to go with DiPietro, and then you trade Luongo. Just an asinine run.
Hey, you go back sometimes all the time, Hayes, where you're looking
at the Leaf torture.
The Leaf torture draft picks. Go back on the New York Islanders path.
Oh, terrible.
Like, that is like Milbury's tenure and before that and after that, man,
it's sickening. Sickening, and I have no affiliation with the Islanders. And it sickens me. I can't imagine how disgusting they must feel. You know, they just handed away Chara, Spezza, Luongo, Rafi Torres, Todd Bertuzzi,
Berard.
Brian McCabe.
Yeah.
Berard. Yeah, like,
you name
it. A long list of guys.
That wasn't a total sideshow. That operation there was something.
Yeah.
There'll be a document. There should be a 30 for 30 on that.
Seriously, might be. Well, yeah. Didn't they? They had the owner that
they
was like put $5,000 down, like
yeah.
that duped them.
Absolutely.
It was a gong show.
It was.